It's 26 minutes to 10 o'clock and the lovely Bev Malone is in the studio. Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Sounds
just
that
to
way.
See, yes, you know, we talk about self-esteem. And when, you know, you see all these little kids and their uniqueness being highlighted, it's just lovely. It's very emotional and it's beautiful. All
it
right,
is.
So SMS, 34519, your birth date. And we do get lots and lots of SMSs during the show. And so if you want to interact with Bev directly, call us 0861 24 24 36. So, Bev, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Shall we go? An anonymous person has sent through this SMS, the 27th of May, 1992. So I have no details. I don't know if this is male or female, but it is the 27th, and this person has sent it through twice. So we're definitely going to focus on this one. Anonymous, 27 May, 1992.
Okay. That's actually my niece's birthday.
Is it really? In 1992 as well?
Not
just
even
the
close.
Day. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, really?
Not even close.
Big
she's
gap.
A little person. No, not even close. She's born recently.
27.
I go blank. Okay, so 27th of May, 1992. I'm getting woman, so we'll go with woman, right? And here, the amazing thing about this particular kind of energy is, and obviously the year and the parents and the culture and the community and the place in the world and everything creates a difference in how you manifest, whether you manifest in a more positive, more powerful light or you don't. It does. It makes a big difference. So you can have two people of the exact same birthday born 5 kilometers apart and they have very similar parents and they go to different schools and they will be different. They will fit into a different potential in that number.
Okay.
So for this particular person, we have someone who's quick. Whoa. Quick-minded, very analytical, shoots straight through to the core of things, needs things to be reasonable, logical, makes sense, very bossy, always giving direction, inflexible, has a dramatic way about her and likes things to be in a certain way. And then the powerful thing about that is that she's very good at organizing and she can take the world on. And obviously, if you're a man person, I'm not referring to the feminine characteristics of you. I'm just using woman so that it makes my flow easier. Okay. So if you want to help me, then, you know, please say if you're a man or woman, that really does make it easier. And you can still remain anonymous. No pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking at here is somebody who loves to outreach, who loves to help, who wants to change the world, who likes to reach in and be support for others. That's a big thing here. Doesn't know boundaries is one of the challenges. Has to learn self-management. Has to be reasonable with where to put herself because there's a lot of overextension. I'm just going to overextend and overextend. And, you know, loyalty is a wonderful thing. And commitment is a wonderful thing. And reliability and accountability, these are all wonderful attributes to have. But all of them come in a spectrum of, let's say, 0 to 100. And you can be stupid loyal, I call it, is when you're loyal when it doesn't serve you. So let's say I commit to something. And I think a lot of people are having this struggle politically today in South Africa. I'm hearing it no matter where I'm listening and no matter where I'm engaging or with whom. I'm hearing this dichotomy and this incongruence developing with people struggling with the fight for the new South Africa and the fight to get away from apartheid and the fight to support the ANC so that they can have the power to do so. And then the pouring of support into that party and then the disappointments that are coming out 18 years later. But there's loyalty, and that's fantastic. And being loyal to a cause that will set you free and get you the vote and have you have rights for your children and for yourself that are better than you had when you were growing up, that's an essential. That's revolutionary. And we don't want people to be flexible with that. And that's why people even stretch towards terrorism with that. And they stretch because you can't be flexible when you're fighting for freedom. We understand that, right? But now we're in a place where there should be a realization of those promises, a realization of those dreams and of the support that the country and was offering, the governance was offering, except now we're hearing all the dichotomies and all the people going, but where? Where's the service delivery? Where's this? Where's that? And the loyalty now gets challenged. So being stupid loyal would be to continuously support something which does not serve you anymore and does not meet your needs. That's stupid loyalty. And you can do that with that stretching loyalty beyond what's reasonable. That's what I'm talking about. And you can do that in relationships. I can be committed to you as a friend, Nikki. We can be absolutely committed and we fight for something together and we make it happen. And then you start hurting me and you start disappointing me and you say you'll do things and you don't. And you say you'll be there and you aren't. And you say you'll help me and you're not available. And I still want to be your friend. That's stupid loyalty. At some point, one has to draw the line and say, to this point and no further, I have rights, I have needs, I have preferences, and you're not meeting any of them. So clearly you do not care enough about me for us to engage in this relationship anymore. And then to be stupid loyal would just be to say, I'm still going to be with you though. I'll still be your friend, even though you're hurting, disappointing me, letting me down. And that's the challenge I'm seeing today. Mm. It's that, and I don't want to call it in a political sense, stupid loyalty, but I can see the challenge of that loyalty, that people are saying, but I want to be loyal to my party. I want to be loyal to the governance because that's what got me here. But they're not serving. They're not this. I don't know what to do now. I want to be loyal to you. Why are you letting me down? There is this pain. And that's what I'm hearing, this outcry and pain. So with this person, I'm saying you have a powerful ability to outreach, to help, to save, to change, to be supportive of. But there's also an inflexibility in changing direction. So if you're set on a certain direction, anonymous person, you will not change course unless you smash into a brick wall. And even then, I think if you're still capable of moving, you'll go in the same direction. So I'm challenging you to look at that and think about it. Where am I inflexible that it's not serving me? So I use politics as a dichotomy because I want you to think that in certain ways, it is essential to be inflexible. When you're fighting for human rights, you must not be flexible. Well, we really want to be able to sit anywhere and own homes anywhere and educate our children anywhere. But okay, if you don't want it to, so then it's fine. No, we don't want that. We want an inflexibility. We have the right to be educated, to be treated, to live anywhere. We must not be flexible. But then when it comes to heading in the same direction and not achieving the same results or achieving results at all, then it is okay to change direction. And one of the biggest things I want to leave as a message for this person and for people who are getting any sense of this in their own lives, the Titanic was a massive achievement. Everyone said it could not be built. Everybody said it would never sail. At the time, it was a mammoth achievement. They said God himself cannot sink the ship. These were the headlines. Mm. And why did it sink? Not because it wasn't an amazing vessel. It was. Not because it wasn't in the right place. It was. Because it was too big and inflexible to change direction quick enough to avoid the iceberg it was heading at. If it had the flexibility to change direction faster, it would not have sunk. Just putting it out there with the loyalty of this person and the committedness to certain things. And for all of us, where you are absolutely committed to a cause, but the dynamics change. It doesn't matter if it's a school project. It doesn't matter what it is, politics, relationships, friendship. It doesn't matter what it is. You have a right to reevaluate whether or not your loyalties should now change because they no longer serve you in a way that empowers you.
Brilliant. Wow. Thanks for that, Bev. Let's look at the next person. I love that analogy of the Titanic. Okay, mail. 6th of January, 1974. We're going to take a break. The 6th of Jan, 1974. A mail.
This is 101.9
High FM.
101.9 megahertz of power.
Welcome back. It's Nikki Seberini and Bev Malun in the studio. Bev, looking at your birth dates and keep sending them in to 34519. Call us on 0861 24 24 36. Now, Yanni, if you're listening, please know that we are going to take it because you've seen quite a few SMSs. So I definitely will make sure that Bev looks at your numbers this morning. But right now, Bev, we're looking at the 6th of January, 1974, and this is a male.
All right, so let me put it as gently as I can. This is somebody who has their own story, but who wants to look like everybody else and as good as everybody else and will keep themselves from living their truth. Now, that is a challenge most of us face in one guise or another, but this is very specific here. This is somebody who dresses beautifully, presents well, likes to look good, deep thinker, very sensitive in relationships. I'm not certain you always share what you're feeling. That is part of your work, is to get out of underneath the Titanic at the bottom of the ocean and share what that pain is, share your disappointments, share your fears. It's so important. If we don't do that, we'll end up sitting there alone in the dark, and it's what, 4 kilometers down? It's cold. Mm. You don't want to be there all by yourself. I always say that sulking should not be in the dictionary. There's no such thing as sulk. Do not tell your children they sulk. Do not tell your partners they sulk. There's no such thing. What you see as somebody, what we call sulking, is somebody in so much pain and so much disappointment and not knowing how to articulate it and feeling like if they tell the truth about what they're feeling, they won't survive. That's why I advocate learning how to communicate, learning how to use my 4-step strategy for communication. It's so simple. This is what happened. This is what I felt. This is what I'd prefer. Can we please do it that way? Is that so hard? You'll stumble, trip, and fall all over it in the beginning. But if you get it a quarter right, you'll feel stronger inside because you will have honored your feeling. And that's where self-esteem gets boosted. And that's where we become stronger in life. We become stronger in life because we know how to work ourselves and how to protect ourselves and honor what our need and preference is with dignity. It doesn't matter whether you hurt me, insulted me, or let me down, or stole from me, or hurt my best friend. It doesn't matter what you've done. I don't honor myself by behaving with you in a way that is undignified. I honor myself by dignifying what I want to have happen. Because then there is no need for drama. There is no need for us to get aggressive. I'm honest with what I'm feeling. I'm honest with what my experience was. And you can only look like a lunatic if you have an aggressive response. If I say to Nikki, last week when we were supposed to meet for coffee after the show, I thought that it was on. I was there. I waited. And I tried calling, but you didn't respond. And I was disappointed. What happened? I was hurt. I was waiting. And I felt neglected and abandoned. Actually, that was the real essence of the truth. If we have a meeting planned and you're not going to be able to make it, I'd much prefer you just let me know. We can reschedule. What had happened? Mm. And that gives you the opportunity to say, this is what happened. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot about that. Please forgive me. I'll try not to do that again. It just opens up the floor for communication and not drama.
But it's doing it consciously, and not only consciously, but it's also one step at a time. Babe, you can't, I suppose, expect to be the perfect communicator and be able to express your feelings when you've never done
that's
it before.
That's exactly why I'm saying trip, fall, and stumble all over it, but start a better process, because my question always remains, how's it working for you? That's my girl.
Yeah, baby.
How's it working for you? Not communicating.
Okay, so I have Anonymous on the line. Hi, Anonymous. Good morning, Anonymous.
Hello.
Hello, hello, Anonymous. Please go ahead with Bev.
Hi. 21/5/1989, a young lady.
1989.
1985
or 9?
9.
1989.
789. I
listen on the radio. Thank you. Anything specific before you go?
No, just anything that you can.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for calling. 1989, a young lady. Okay, a young lady
who was born in the time when I matriculated. You don't have to sit and count on your fingers. I'm 40. Let's move past that. Okay,
we've already celebrated your 40.
Exactly.
But let's move
for anybody who's
for sure.
1990 matriculation. Right, moving on. So. Sure. So, you know, this is an interesting young lady today, because in a time where she's now what? She's about 22, 23, is my math correct? Is it that long since I matriculated?
Do you want to know how my mind works? Do you want to know how my mind works? I'm thinking she's 40 because we looked at the date, but of course not. She was born on the day you matriculated. Don't ask me, in other words, Bev. What's happening in my head is very dangerous.
I think I did actually matriculate 22 years ago, so best we get past that. Okay, so this is also, it's an interesting theme, as we always have every week. Isn't it weird? Mm. But we do. We have a theme, and the theme is about loyalty, and the theme is about being able to reevaluate your loyalties. And I use the term stupid loyalty, but please don't equate that with me considering a person who is loyal where their needs are no longer being served as being a stupid person. That's not what I mean at all. Perhaps what it might
You're being loyal no matter what.
No, perhaps, yes, but perhaps the better terminology for it would be unserving loyalty.
Okay.
Like there's a time at which loyalty serves your cause, your purpose, your friendship, your relationship, your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, etc. And there's a time at which that very same loyalty alters and needs to be reevaluated because it no longer serves your hopes, your dreams, your relationship, your future, your needs, your rights, etc. And so when people are unreasonably loyal, they shoot themselves in the foot. And this young lady is going to be in a position to do that if she is not willing to reevaluate the choices and direction she takes. She's a strong person. She's an ambitious woman, a young woman, and she wants to achieve and drive. She likes to be followed. She needs something that is very dangerous to need and rely upon, and that is public affirmation. It's so hard when you need people to tell you you're okay to be okay, because there's just not enough people in a good enough mood who are healthy enough in a good space to tell you that on a regular basis, enough for you to feel good enough to do what you have to do.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Exactly. It's exhausting. You have to know in yourself what I'm about, what I do, what my value system is, and how those things make me the person I am, and nothing you say takes from that. Nothing. I saw the most beautiful illustration of this, and I'll tell it over quickly. Years ago, I mean, this must have been 12 years ago already, it was a young guy giving this talk, and he said he was trying to explain how no matter what people say to you, there is nothing that can take from your inherent value. And it is a hard thing to get because we are taught to listen to our elders as young people. We are taught that the elders know more than this. And our parents will say, oh, what are you doing? That's stupid. And then you go, okay, so I'm stupid, right? What are you doing? You're so nasty. Okay, so I'm nasty, right? And we start taking all of this on and believing it. And every single negative thing we believe about ourselves inhibits us from taking that one step closer to reaching our potential, right? And so when you go through that for an entire childhood and peer group and teachers, you get to about 21 and you have nothing to offer. You're just broken. Your dreams are shattered. All the dreams of being a this and being a that and having it. Ask the average 24 or 5-year-old, what are your dreams? They don't really have any. Ask a 40-year-old, what are your dreams? Don't even know what it means, right? And that's because the right to dream, the belief in change, in possibility, in hope, and option has been slaughtered and crushed. And it's such a pity because that's not the truth of the world. That's not it at all. We can change immediately. And so what he did is he took a note, and for our purposes, we'll call it a new 200 Rand bright, luminous, orange, yellow, Madiba note, right? And so I really thought it's fantastic. This Technicolor now, we've really moved into this Africa money thing. I love it, right? It's brightened up my purse. So we have this luminous orange yellow thing, and it's worth 200 rands if you trade it in at the Reserve Bank. So he held it up and he said, who wants this? Crisp, perfect note. And I'm holding this up for you and I'm saying, who wants it? It's a crisp, perfect note. Do you want it? Yes, right? Why wouldn't you want it?
Thank you very much.
Right.
I'll take
everyone
it.
Driving around, listening, wherever you're streaming in from, do you want
yes,
that?
Yes, please. I'll have it. My hand's up.
Right. Now I crush it in my hand, and then I open my hand, and now it's crushed. So it's not pristine anymore, but it's still 200 rand.
Still want it, thank you.
You still want it. Now I drop it on the floor. Do you want it?
I want it.
I'm going to put my foot on it. I'm crushing it. I'm dirtying it. I pick it up off the floor. I open it up. It's now dirty and crumpled, and it still says the 200. Do you want it?
Well, it's still worth 200.
That's
I'll use
right.
it, thank you.
The inherent value of the note does not change. Do you know that if you tear it in half, but the two serial numbers are on each side, you can trade it in for 200 rand at a bank.
200 each? So you've got 400?
Nope, is it only- Nope, I'm afraid the note okay. together still equates to 200.
You to something.
No, no.
But
it's still 200.
On my holiday, but anyway,
are
yes.
we clever here? Do we get it? It's still 200. You can tear it in half. It's still worth 200. It doesn't matter if you are violated. It doesn't matter if you are captured. It doesn't matter if you have your rights taken from you, your inherent value as a human being, and your right and obligation to choose better for yourself in your thoughts, in your speech, in the way you look at yourself, remains intact no matter who says what to you, no matter who affirms you or who doesn't. So for this young lady, I will say this. Living a life in the world where you are dependent on other people saying you are good to be good, on other people saying you look good to know you look good, on other people saying you are lovely to feel lovely, is a life that will hold you back from reaching anywhere near your potential. Because provided in life, you do without trying to break laws, and you do without trying to hurt anyone. You can live independent of the scrutiny of others and rise higher into your potential. As soon as we need the affirmation of someone else for us to be able to strive to reach higher in our potential, to reassess our loyalties, to decide what serves us and where we're going to head, we become part of a society that agrees to zero accountability in our personal lives, in our relationships, in our governance, in everything. We have the right to choice, and nothing can take that from you. Even in a cell, you can choose freedom. You may not be able to exercise that freedom physically out of that cell, but you can exercise it in your mind. You're only imprisoned if you give your mind permission to be so.
Thank you very much for that, Bev. Wonderful. Okay, so Yanni SMS'd, and he's a male, obviously. Date of birth, the 28th of the 12th, 1937. And Yanni has said, no specific request. Overall reading will be appreciated. The 28th of the 12th, 1937. 1937. And Yanni has said, I'm Afrikaans, and I listen regularly to your program. We're delighted, Yanni. We are delighted. And you've been very patient with the reading. So, Bev, you have it. We're going to take a quick break. 28th of the 12th, 1937.
This is In Your Element with Nikki Sabarini on 101.9 IFM.
Good morning, good morning. Self-esteem engineer Bev Mulun in the studio. Yanni has been very patient for his reading. And here we are, Yanni, born on the 28th of the 12th, 1937, Bev.
Okay. I studied at Rao, but I don't think I'm going to hazard.
Don't do it in Afrikaans.
I wouldn't.
Asseblief,
I wouldn't.
May Afrikaans is nie goed nie, as you'll have. As you would have just heard that, Yanni.
Ek kan 'n bietjie Afrikaans praat, maar ek doen dit so met 'n stem. All the Afrikaanse mense lach vir my. They know. Because
but hang
it's like
on,
the Joburg Northern Suburbs Afrikaans.
It's the pronunciation.
Yeah, it's the pronunciation. But a lot of my patients I still see in Afrikaans, and they love it, but they think it's hysterical. But I loved,
loved
studying
in
Afrikaans.
Even doing it.
After I stopped getting migraines and could actually like figure out what on earth they were saying.
Okay, Yanni, sorry,
so
but it's in English.
Here we go, Yanni. Right, here we go. It's in English, and I'll do it as clearly as possible. So Yanni is a very interesting man. Like he I think he knows he's a lovely guy. I mean he's not a young guy, but he's not an old guy either. With longevity at 100, you still have another, you know, career
ahead of you.
Ahead of you, Yanni. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, because I have a strong belief, and everyone has their own system that they help, that helps them to get through life. And my belief system is the Jewish beliefs in philosophy, and that is that we're here for purpose and for development and growth and self-refinement. And at some point, our body will no longer work, and we will leave it, because the essence of we is this energy, battery, soul, whatever you're comfortable to call it, that comes into a body in each lifetime and has the opportunity to refine itself and uses a body as a vessel to interact with others and the world. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, it certainly is for me, then we are here on a path of growth, refinement, development, social engagement, change, etc. Then at the tender age of what must be now 75 for the young Yanni, there is plenty of time left to do that self-reflection and work. You know, I've done programs and some numbers and stuff and profiling in old age homes and et cetera, and it's been a lot of fun. And people say, yeah, but I'm too old to change. Oh, nonsense. My line with that is, are you still breathing oxygen? Don't be a thief. Use it. You're breathing oxygen, you can change. You can change. You can lie there unable to move in a bed, and you can work with your mind if you're still working. The bottom line is, while you're on planet Earth using a body to interact and engage, you have opportunity to self-refinement, self-reflection, growth and development on a daily basis. And I met a lovely lady the other day at my son's grade 6 graduation, and she said to me, you profiled me once on radio and you were spot on. I said, that's so nice. Did it have value for you? Yes, it did. I tried to do all those things, but then I went back to my old ways. And I was like, that's okay. begin again.
Mm.
That's okay. Mm. Change is hard.
But it is life.
If you don't eradicate the reason why you behave that way, then behavioral management is very hard to effect change with. So when I'm encouraging people to behave differently, I'm encouraging you, and Yanni, I'm going to give you something while we end. I'm encouraging you to not just change the behavior. Oh, I always get grumpy, so I won't get grumpy. Because managing that relies on you sleeping, eating enough, taking your supplements, vitamins, medication, everyone being nice to you, etc. There's too many factors. When you can go underneath that and say, okay, but why do I behave grumpy? What comes up for me that makes me grumpy? What do I feel? What's the small feeling inside? The sadness, the hurt, the disappointment, the being ignored, the abandonment, the vulnerable feeling. What is that? Where does it come from when I was in my past or my youth that I can heal that and look at that and go, oh, that's what it was. And now looking at it as an adult, I can forgive that person for doing the best at the time, even though my experience was pain, and I can let that go. And that reason for becoming grumpy will no longer be there. You don't have to manage the grumpy. You need to look at why so that you can change. And then you release it. And it's not that hard a process. I just gave it to you. Look at the podcast on the Chai FM website or on mine in the next few weeks and listen to it again. It's a simple process. You've just got to be willing to do it. Don't try to change your behavior only. Look for the reasons why the behavior is there.
I like the way you say, just go underneath it.
Just go underneath the behavior. Onions. Shrek says it, you know? Onions. We like
layers.
Onions.
Yeah.
Layers. There's layers. Parfait. Everybody loves parfait. Okay, so let's look at this, right? I'm focused now and ending with Yanni. Yanni, here's something for you to reflect upon. I don't know if you've heard, listening to our station so much, the word dafka. So dafka is when you decide how something must be and ain't nothing changing that, baby. You are going to behave that way, whether it serves you, whether it doesn't serve you. I've decided my heels are in and I'm not moving. You have a tendency to being authoritative and dafka. And what I mean by that is you say how it must be and no one must challenge you. And you're not flexible in certain areas. So you're tender age of 75, and I'm encouraging you to look at that. Am I right? Are you sometimes really dafka? Are you sometimes really like that? Is it serving you? Has it built your relationships? Has that inflexibility harmed your relationships? Are all the things you've wanted to achieve done, or were you sometimes dafka and that actually inhibited you, stopped you from going forward? Think about it. It's something to, I'm putting it out there. It's something to reflect upon for the next while. And perhaps with what you can dip beneath, you can find some things you can let go of. And even if you only let go of one thing in the next 40 or so years, while you live out the rest of this particular incarnation, this particular life, you have the opportunity for immense refinement and growth and the opportunity to change and improve the relationships around you. And most importantly for me is the relationship you have with yourself. If you can take anything that I offer, that I'm being given to offer, and you can use it to change one aspect of how you speak to yourself, to improve it, to be gentler, to be more encouraging, just one, that'll be amazing.
Wonderful. Thank you. There we have it, Yanni. Bev, thank you so much. And thank you for sending through all the SMSs. Bev will be with us same time next Friday. Bev, you ain't going nowhere.
Nope, I'm not.
Fantastic. Bev Malone, self-esteem engineer. As always, Bev, it is very, very special having you with us. So thank you. And thank you for your time. SMSs, phone calls happening next week again when Bev joins us.